This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talking with Ace from Mutually Assured Destruction from Form of Passion. Are you in Virginia or are you on the California right now?
I am as of midnight or about 1 a.m. Midnight last night. I'm back in the Bay after being on the East Coast for about like five, six days.
Right on, man. So, you know, last time we chatted was, I think, right around the release of an EP you guys put out. And that was just over the phone. That was that right as like, you know, I was starting to learn how to record from home. Sure. Things have, you know, gotten a little bit better, got a better microphone, got a better camera, all that stuff. So I don't have to do it via phone anymore.
Your setup looks good, man.
Thank you. So, you know, you have now, you're bi-coastal. Your setup is, you were Virginia originally. Now you're a West Coaster. Do yep. you go back and forth quite a bit?
I wish more. I've been back to Richmond 3 times this year. And it's like, we're towards the end of May now. I wish I could have, if I could have increased that by maybe 2 more, I'd prefer that. Plane tickets right now are just nuts. So
yeah,
in general. So, and it's like, which is actually like been not like a problem, but a bit of figuring some band stuff out has been kind of like, a little like more difficult than usual, you know, because of like, you know, increased prices because the world is more open now. Airlines are making up for lost time.
Gas prices as
well. There's a lot of different things that are factoring in there. But I want to be back in Richmond more, mainly just to be kind of hands-on with some shows I book, but I have a really good team of people on the ground there for me. So it's like when I'm not there, they like handle stuff, but yeah. So I am bi-coastal, but I've been over here on the West Coast more just for monetary reasons, honestly.
Sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about that in a little bit. I'm curious about, you know, how that affected the release or the recording of the album and whatnot. Sure. We'll get to that. Okay. But Ascension is out now, came out last week on Triple B Records. It's called Ascension, the LP from Mutually Assured Destruction. Beautiful artwork. Who did that?
That's Jesse Jacoby. The story behind that artwork is, there's going to be a guy in the band that's going to lambast me for not remembering it. That picture is based off of another painting. And I can't remember. I think I want to say the name starts with a D. And the original picture is black and white. He looked like he did kind of like, I don't know if he did like woodblock prints, but it kind of looks a little bit like Albrecht Dürer, like, you know, kind of like, apocalyptic, you know, kind of imagery. But the artist in question is Jesse Jacoby, who we got the inspiration from Tomb Mold. Planetary Clairvoyance was done by this guy. Oh, and also Spirit Adrift. Spirit Adrift uses this guy as well.
Cool.
And so we don't sound like Tomb Mold, like their art, but we do sound like Spirit Adrift, kind of. So it was like, okay, we like this vibe.
Sure.
So if fingers crossed, if we do another record down the line, want to use that guy again, just for continuity purposes. But yeah, he does crazy work. Very detailed.
Absolutely. So you guys released the album on a Wednesday. Most albums these days are on Fridays. I used to work in a CD store, and in that era, all albums came out on Tuesday. So we would put all the CDs out Monday night. People would come in Tuesday morning, buy their, you know, whatever CD they were buying. Most CDs come out, or albums. See how old I sound. CDs. I have your CD on order right now. I'm waiting.
Oh, hell
for
yeah.
It.
So hell yeah. I love
yeah,
that.
As you can see, I still collect those things called CDs. Yeah, so your album was released on a Wednesday. Was there a reason for that?
Yes. There's a specific reason, and then there's an umbrella reason. The specific reason is that Triple B had ages ago scheduled that they were going to be releasing some Tsunami material that Friday, and Sam didn't want to do two releases on a Friday of his own label. Number one, and two, it's like that band has like a ton of eyes on him, so like he didn't want that to overshadow any of our stuff. Secondarily, so I don't know if this happens to you, because you're tapped in. I feel like anything that's new that comes out that your ears hit at least.
Oh, it's once. So overwhelming sometimes.
That's why we didn't release it on a Friday, because on Fridays, everybody releases material. Yeah. And for me, it personally turns into like,
it's daunting, man.
It's daunting. And I start listening to stuff like I'm checking off like a to-do list rather than like, oh, I'm like going to check this out and really like sit with it and kind of like analyze it. Instead, it's like, oh, five albums came out today from a bunch of artists I like. Guess I'll just blaze through each one of them, when I can get to it today or over the weekend, and then just check off the box mentally that I listened to it. We wanted to do it on a day where we didn't feel like there was going to be like a lot of competition of other stuff to listen to.
I feel like that's something that happens a little bit more in hip hop, where people are kind of stay away from releasing albums on the same day. Cause Drake's going to drop this album. Let's hold off a couple weeks. But in metal and hardcore and stuff, I think that it's such a sub genre of things that there's not the eyes on it like that, but you have a good point, man. And that's a question I was going to ask you, man, is like, with the seriously, like the so overwhelming amount of albums and stuff, like are you able to get to everything?
Dude, I consider myself a pretty organized person, but it's weird, as like life has gone on, I feel like I've like oddly become like a little less organized, which I don't like, and I need to tighten up. But I mean, like I like will make like I'll just like screenshot every like new thing and just in my phone and just like peer and like just like try to like on like to-do list style like go through everything. But I mean, I'm getting to a point now where so much comes out. And also there's another thing too, in the age of like extreme accessibility, it's like you like it's not only do you check out the stuff you hear about, it's like you hear about everything. You hear about stuff that years ago you wouldn't have heard about at all unless you were like in a certain circle or like paying attention to certain outlets. Now it doesn't really matter. You're going to hear about everything, whether you want to hear about it or not. And as somebody who likes to just at least try stuff out, you know, I feel like compelled to check out stuff that I might not even think is like really my thing. But it's hard to get to, like you we talked about it. It's hard to get to. I honestly kind of need to like, I think what I need to tell myself, and I'm sure some people listening would like understand this, is like, I think I need to kind of like pick and choose. And then if something kind of pops up enough that I normally wouldn't check out, I need to go, okay, I'll listen to it now. But, I don't know. I feel like because so much stuff comes out when I listen to things, it's more mechanic as opposed, it's quantitative as opposed to qualitative. And I don't like that. I don't want to do that anymore.
So it's kind of funny. Like I have streaming, I have vinyl, but the reason I started buying CDs is because I found that, you know, it's not that like I'm super obsessed with the physical thing of it. I found that if I buy the CD and I have a CD player in my car, I specifically put a CD player in my car because I buy the CD, I spend more time with the CD.
Yeah.
You know, I, it's easier for me to not have the like phone ADD where I just go and I'm like, oh, that's a sick part. Let me go to the next song. You know, my, my roommate laughs that like, I can't finish a full song, you know? So
I'm similar though. I'll like put together playlists and I'm like enjoying them and stuff, but I'm like, ooh, what's the next song going to be like on like the shuffle, you know? And I just like, we'll skip ahead. And yeah, I have the same issue. I hear you.
We're like the worst version of like a mixed DJ where we're just like, just breakdowns. Yeah. So, okay. So this past weekend was your first, stab at a new festival. And, it's called the Big Takeover over. Yes. That's the name. Big Takeover.
Big Takeover. Yes, sir.
In Richmond, Richmond, you know, punk, hardcore, metal, well-known. I actually just saw Municipal Waste last week, Richmond's Rocking. Finest.
Yes.
So, you know, very well known for that. How was it booking a fest on the West Coast for the East Coast? Was that, did you find that difficult at all?
So, I mean, I'm going to be real with you, man. Booking these days is so just like email oriented and everything that like I still book a ton of hardcore shows in Richmond.
Oh, wow.
And metal shows. Oh, yeah. I mean, like I didn't stop. I've done, hold on, I keep a list. Let me see how many I've done this year. Let's see what we got. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So 10, including all three shows of the festival so far. And I have three to announce coming up. So it's like, I didn't stop because what I realized is I was like, oh, it's when an agent hits you up or like a friend hits you up to do a show, you book the show through an email, you're talking to the agent through email, you're talking to your friend's band through text. It's like, you don't need to physically be there. And, you know, I have a homie, my friend Justin, who sings in this band Killing Pace, and my friend Hunter, who sings in this band Downfall. They, you know, like, they book the shows with me and like, you know, like they bring the cabs, like they like make sure stuff's on the ground is cool or whatever. And, you know, we all work together. So the reason like I'm still involved is number one, I like booking shows, but number two, it's like agents and certain bands will know my name over theirs, you know, and eventually as they like continue doing this, you know, people will know them for that. But it's like, you know, kind of having my name on an email chain might make somebody a little more at ease. But so booking the festival was fine, you know, like it just orchestrated it all online. The venues I used were either run by friends or a booking company, or not a booking company, but a venue company that I work with a lot. And so they know I do good work, and all that stuff was pretty easy, you know? I would say the most difficult part, like if anything, was like, I guess orchestrating some backline stuff, but even that wasn't hard. I mean, it was just like, that was maybe the most difficult part. And I don't know if like, I like to physically flyer for stuff. So obviously since I moved, I haven't been able to do that, but, I don't know if that would have like putting posters up around Richmond would have like helped a ton or whatever for a festival. But that's it. It was fine.
So Richmond, you know, well known for United Blood, hardcore festival. And that's something that has ended, I believe, a couple of years ago before the pandemic was the last year.
That was, so we announced the 2020 United Blood, and legitimately maybe like 2 weeks before it happened is when everything got locked down, like via the government. Like you know, we were really holding out. I remember talking about it with the United Blood team, and we were like, we're not gonna cancel until like the government says we have to cancel.
Sure.
And then that happened. And so that the last one that occurred was 2019. The last one that was announced is 2020. And then the two guys that were like the main guys of it, I was more kind of like a vice president type position. They decided to not continue in like December of this past year. So there was a void there. And then that's kind of what that's how Big Takeover happened, because even before they told me, I knew it was coming. I knew that they didn't really want to do it anymore. Or if they wanted to do it, they wanted to make it super different. So in December, I started putting together Big Takeover even before the axe came down. And then, as I suspected, they wanted to stop, you know, doing it. So, but this year, for next year, I'll have more time to put together the festival, because this time I only had like 2 months. You know, it was good. It was a good weekend. It was a successful first year. Didn't lose money, so that's nice. And people keep telling me they had a good time. So
it was a cool vibe. The lineup. I mean, I didn't go obviously, but like it was, you know, like Terrorizer, you know, and like grindcore, hardcore, metal, punk. It was kind of a unifying. It seemed like was that the general like idea of just all underground music together?
Yeah, man. Because check this out, like. When I imagine when you and I were coming up, when people around our age were coming up, you kind of like not everybody, I'm sure, but a lot of people kind of line themselves off into being like, I'm into this subgenre, but I'm not into this one. Or like, I like a couple bands over here, but my tribe is really over here or over there or whatever. And I mean, I certainly was that way, you know, and went through phases and stuff. But I feel like the younger listener now, and that's who attended. It was younger listeners.
That's awesome.
Almost to the point where I kind of had to start thinking about it, because I didn't see a lot of older listeners, and didn't really see, other than bands playing, a ton of people kind of around my age. So next year I might need to like throw some certain things in there that appeal to like different age groups. But you know, the younger listener now doesn't do that. They don't do the, like, I'm only into black metal. They don't do like, I'm only into grindcore. I'm only into like, Oi or something, whatever. It's like the younger listeners now, like, because of accessibility, like more stuff. It's not just the stuff that was shown to them or they found through like reading liner notes or whatever. You have access to everything, so you can be into everything. So what I was thinking, and also I was thinking about Richmond in general, is that, like, I was like, okay, United Blood was a big capital H hardcore festival, meat and potatoes, and that's the way that I liked it, and that's the way that, you know, like it was with Foster Embrace is setting it up, with the occasional deviation. But that style, albeit still does fine in Richmond, is not like I wouldn't call it like the soup du jour. You know, punk and metal, I think right now, or like the stock there is up. So I was like, okay, I want to put together something that is like reminiscent of UB, but also reminiscent of what the current taste of Richmond is.
Cool.
As well. So added as much punk as I could, added as much metal as I could, tried to, you know, like kind of balance it out. It worked okay. No friction of kind of crowds or anything, and it wasn't kind of like, okay, these types of bands had good sets and these types of bands had bad sets. It wasn't like that. It was everybody, every style pretty much did equal.
That's great. That's good to hear.
It was cool.
So, you know, obviously we're talking about the LP. So I'll go back to it. Ascension is out now. Something I kind of was thinking about, was there any difficulty in recording the album because of the pandemic? Did that present any challenges or not so much?
Not so much. The biggest challenge of recording that record, it was recorded before I started spending more time out west, was how long it took. The challenge was the guy recording it, bless his heart, Sam. I do Form of Passion with him. is one of my best friends, but he has a schedule that, in my opinion, is not the most conducive schedule to other people that don't work in the exact same industry as him. Okay. What do I mean by that? He is off on like Sundays and Mondays. And then on weekdays, he starts work at like 1 and is off at like 8. So you could only record with him on one weekend day, a weekday. So if you're working during the day, you can't really do anything.
Or just days off,
or just night.
Yeah.
And that was it. That record took 8 months to record because it would be like 2 days at a time each week, really, or like one day and like a couple hours in an evening or something. So that was really the challenge. COVID, not so much like, you know, like, I think we would occasionally mask up, in the studio or whatever, but like, I can't remember anybody in the band getting COVID during the recording process. I mean, now come to think of it, I think, man, I could be wrong about this, but I think maybe a majority of MAD is, including myself, has not gotten COVID.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
Yeah. I mean, definitely knock on wood. There are so many instances where I feel like I just should have gotten it already. So I don't know. I mean, I am not going to say I'm built different because that means I'll get it tomorrow. If I say
exactly.
But I've just gotten lucky.
I'm just built different, bro.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. But I've had some good dice rolls, but yeah, no, COVID was, not really a factor. COVID was a factor on this though. We released our EP, the one we talked about in February of 2020. I feel like the rug really got pulled out from under us because we played after it came out. We did 3 shows with Division of Mine and Incendiary, 1 show in North Carolina with like Terror and Restraining Order and Magnitude. And then that was it. And then everything locked down and we had some wind in our sails, and I feel like that really went away. And also there was this, our main songwriter for the first 2 EPs, for the 7-inch and the 10-inch, you know, I won't speak too deeply for him, but I will give a little bit of insight. As none of us really knew what was going to happen with COVID, I think a part of him was like, I mean, like, if we record and write a record, are we even going to be able to ever play it? Like, like, not as far as like, what's the point? But I think there was an anxiety of like, I mean, this feels a little bit futile. But I mean, you know, we rallied the spirits and I got with the other guitar player a lot. And he and I had a bunch of writing sessions together. And, you know, like Tyler then took our songs or wrote his own songs, but took the ones Grota wrote and really enhanced them. And it worked out. But I think it was more of a mental thing with COVID as opposed to a physical. I think the mental aspect was like, oh, like, what are we doing here? That maybe kind of like slowed the freight train down a little bit.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow, that's okay. I'm glad you guys were able to rally. I mean, so I was listening to the record, man, and it's something like, I hear a lot of kind of like COC vibes, kind of like Southern rock, kind of like stonery stuff. Like some kind of Danzig in the vocals and whatnot, and classic rock kind of vibes. You know, you guys are on a hardcore label. You guys are hardcore kids.
Yes.
Is this a hardcore band? Is this a hardcore album? Would you classify this album as a hardcore album?
Bro, I don't know. people have asked me that before. And
because I'd say it's just hardcore kids doing heavy rock.
Yeah, I think it's
not,
I think
even
it's,
always metal. It's just like
not even rock. Always metal. I consider it a metal record, like you, one would consider like Corrosion of Conformity, Deliverance as a metal record.
But you said Spirit Adrift, or
but you could also consider Deliverance a rock record if you wanted to.
Sure.
The thing is, I know people that listen to...
This is your black album. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I know people that listen to MAD under different contexts. People have talked to me and said, oh, I consider y'all a rock band. Y'all are on like my rock playlist with like Alice in Chains and stuff like that.
Cool.
Then other people are like, oh, it's a metal record.
Yeah.
And then other people are like, you know, it's a hardcore record. I said this in like a print article one time, but it makes it a little bit easier. As say like a current band like a Municipal Waste or a Dead Heat, that's crossover metal, you know, so that's taking elements of hardcore and taking elements of metal and meshing them. The bite size description I give MAD is crossover doom. It's hardcore, but it like leans into like Sabbath. And it leans into like Southern slower rock and like Corrosion Conformity and stuff. And like bands like Acid Bath, and things like that. So if anybody needs a tagline, that tagline will work. But honestly, man, end of the day, if someone listens to the record, whatever they want to consider it is cool by me. We'll play any show. It doesn't matter. We can pick different songs from the record to kind of work on any gig. So it's fine by me, whatever you want to consider is.
Two questions. Would you ever play a show with Monster Magnet? And would you ever wear bell bottoms?
100% Monster Magnet. 100%. Like for sure.
Amazing.
I would do like a whole, I'll play with like Clutch, the Sword, what I'll do.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to try it out actually. Yeah. To kind of see what that crowd thinks of us, but the bell bottoms thing is I'm gonna be legitimate. I don't think the music is kind of bell bottom music for certain, but the thing is that I feel like if I were to do it, people would be like, that's fake, that guy doesn't wear that shit.
Yeah,
so I'm not.
You're a clean cut guy. Like, yeah, it would look, you would have to have a Zappa mustache and long hair.
Yeah,
I'm not, smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, I'm not like earthy enough for, you know, like sure. Bell bottoms. I'm probably not chill enough for bell bottoms in general, but I appreciate bell bottom metal though, for certain. Like some types of doom I'll go see. And if there's not like one cat in bell bottoms on stage, I'm a little disappointed.
Sure.
Just a little bit.
Nice. Okay. I saw plenty of them at the Mastodon Opeth when they were on stage. They were all wearing
Opeth.
Yeah, they're new stuff. They have a lot of Moog and synthesizer, and they have a lot of like organ and stuff. And the singer,
let's go.
Yeah,
I'm gonna legit pull that up right now. To the check new Opeth
stuff. Yeah, the new Opeth. It sounds like King Crimson mixed with old Opeth. It's definitely not.
Oh,
as
metal. I'm looking at the current vibe of them. Right now, and you are correct.
Yeah, it was Opeth, Mastodon, and Chemist, and there was quite a few bell bottoms at that one.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. Mastodon is. I could probably dress more like the dudes in Mastodon.
Yeah,
a little more. You know, a little more the southern version of that sound, sure, as opposed to like the UK version. With the bell bottoms and stuff, but like, yo, Chemist rocks too, man. I haven't seen him yet, but I really like their records. That's awesome.
So now that we're talking about, you know, like style and stuff, we see. Yeah. Just last week, here in Seattle, the Chisel came through.
Rocking.
Am I gonna start seeing, you know, a lot more like kind of, you know, voluntary skinheads? I'm an involuntary skinhead. I lost my hair. You know, shout out to the Slumlords.
I'm on the way, dude. Yeah. That's why I hear you.
Are we going to see a lot more, you know, like people pretending they're from the UK wearing the Fred Perry's, you know, people that were like tough guys last week? You know, is that a prediction?
That I've seen the memes, and I think that is an apt future. And I'll take that over like the meme I saw was the Homer Simpson one where it's a dude, he's wearing the corn shirt.
Yep.
And then he like fades into the bush and comes out wearing a Blitz shirt, like post like Chisel Tour or whatever. I'll take Blitz fandom over Korn fandom for certain for sure. But my thing is this, you know, like what's interesting is that when I was a kid, I actually listened to a fair amount of Oi.
Yeah.
Because there was a Sirius XM radio show that came on Sundays called Oysters.
Wow.
And I would like save the songs or like write them down, you know, so I could like download them later, you know, or something. And I still listen. I made like a playlist of just those specific songs from my childhood. Cool. So I fuck with that stuff for sure. But I mean, I think the tenets of Oi, I think what's going to happen, I think what would happen is people would be like, I'm really into the visual, but then you got to learn about what Oi is about. It's patriotism, loving working, unquestioningly.
Yes.
You know, not being like, I guess like, there's a lot of rage without a lot of necessarily like, I'd say some of the more volatile people I've met in my life are skins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they would wear that badge proudly. And I think there's a lot of stuff where people might be like, oh yeah, the look's cool. But then once they kind of get deeper on it, they might not have like the personality traits that rock with what that music is about. You know, man, I don't know. Chisel's cool. UK and Europe are obviously different,
but
you know, of that stuff. And this came a few years earlier. It's like, I like the French stuff. I like Reeks. I like the band Condor. There's another UK band that I feel like that missed this wave. And I think they're still a band, but I'm not 100% sure, but this band Crown Court, it UK similar, they rock. But I'm gonna be real, man. Like with like Chubby and the Gang or something.
Yeah.
I didn't know what pub rock was before Chubby and the Gang. And I've been friends with Charles for a minute.
Yeah.
But I knew Oi, but I didn't know pub rock. So it's like, there's new stuff popping up over there all the time. What I would be curious is if that's now the vibe in London or wherever the Chisel's from. I'm curious if they went from like, I guess they were kind of, I think London was kind of metalcore, away from the quality control stuff.
Yeah.
But I think like the Repentance,
Venom Prison.
And then what's the, oh my God, there's, what's the other one? Renounced. Like that might not be
Wolf Down.
UK. Yeah. Like that's kind of like, was that like, are those people now rocking like white Sambas and, you know, and Cox Bar shirts? I don't know, but it'll be interesting, to see what new gear comes out there.
It's funny that you mentioned the dedication to work, because there was like this kind of like joke oi band from Seattle called had a couple members of Sinking Ships. It was called Forklift, and they had a song called "On the Shitter on My Break."
Yeah,
it was about not wasting company time and taking while you're on your break.
God, hell yeah! Oh, and I was wrong earlier. I might have been thinking about Repentance, but that might be a UK band. I can't really remember, but I know Servitude was. So that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. All right, all right.
But yeah, you know, I mean, it will be interesting to see if there's a new wave of little skins coming out of the woodwork there.
So, you know, you're someone, so your podcast Form of Passion, you've been going hard with that. Every couple of weeks you release, and then you also release every month you release a Patreon episode.
Yes, sir.
And so you're someone who's very in the culture of hardcore and metal and punk. And you're someone who probably, you know, anthropologically, sociologically views, you know, the world of hardcore and punk. So let's play, let's bet on futures here. What's the next trend in hardcore?
Oh man, I think about this all the time, and we're at a really weird crossroads, because for a minute, I think people thought it was going to be melodic hardcore, but I don't think it's going to happen anymore.
There's quality bands like that, but I don't think it's not a wave.
It's not a wave. I think when when One Step Closer was kind of like getting like more into the face of people and stuff, I think people were like, oh, it's the 20-year mark of that sound. It's time to come back, and come through. But no, I don't think that's going to be it. I think what we're going to see is right now you do have the whole kind of like we have the death metal accepted by hardcore trend going on super hard right now. So you got
Undead, Sangasugabog,
yep,
200
Stab Wounds, Gatecreeper, that like
Genocide Pact,
Vomit Forth, like that stuff is for sure the deal currently, or one of the deals. My speculation is from that there either has to be a response or an evolution to that. So I think people are either going to this might be a little too close to home for me because it's like Friends, but like you might start seeing like bands that are like that band Killing Pace that came out, bands that kind of lean more into the faster, like the grind aspect of it, or bands that are start referencing like bands that kind of sound like that band Ingrown from Idaho. Mm-hmm.
They sound like a beat down version of Dying Fetus to me, or like
leaning into like Napalm Death stuff, you know. Yeah. like because you can hop, skip and jump from like listening to like I don't know, like Bolt Thrower to go to Napalm Death pretty easily. And then that opens up a whole world of like power violence-y type stuff and grindcore like type stuff, like Insect Warfare, you know, type things. I think that could be a route people go down, or it will be a response to the death metal stuff. And I don't know what that would be. I don't know what kind of like the opposite of that will be.
I mean, you're someone who was in the trenches of the youth crew scene. That's will there true. Be a resurgence of youth crew or no?
I don't think, I think for a lot of different reasons that is not going to come back ever again.
Wow.
And well, hold on. I think like there's more to the sense. I don't think if it comes back, it won't look like what it ever looked like before.
Okay.
Because I think what's going to happen is there's some things with youth crew that are not popular right now in general. For one thing, people don't like exclusivity as much as they used to. That's not a selling point to people anymore. And like youth crew is like, you know, about like, you know, like largely being straight edge and, you know, kind of like being only into like specific bands or like hyper focusing on like specific like bands, like units and eras. And people, that's not really people's vibe. Also, yo, like people like don't, that look, the super jockey like look or whatever is just not popular even in society. Like
it is, but on the right wing.
Oh yeah, exactly. Okay. Big deal. Away from subculture music.
Exactly.
You kind of
look like a Proud Boy these days.
Yeah.
And that's like, weird because the pause top is something mm-hmm. I grew up seeing everyone wear. Yeah. And now you kind of look like a Proud Boy.
I have always kind of like accidentally looked like some alt-right dude because I was just like, oh yeah, I want like hair, like dudes from 10 Yard Fight and Four Punch,
yeah.
You know? And like, but it's like that look has morphed into something else.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't change it up because I was just like, I like my hair like this, but sure. Like, you know, like that's, you're not wrong. I mean, that is kind of like what that look, you know, turned into. And like, just, you know, people into punk, hardcore, or metal, you know, whatever, or people into hardcore, they're not gravitating towards that at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, so, and another thing with like youth crew too, is that like, I was literally talking about this on forum the other day and talking about it amongst friends. There's been, let's say 3 or 3.5 waves of youth crew. Wave one, the mid 90s wave, the early 2000s wave, and then like sprinklings through the late 2000s to let's say mid 2010s. And we'll count that as a half wave. Because I think in retrospect, there wasn't enough like super substantial bands that could, I think, count it as like a whole other wave. Unless you want to count like kind of like the demo core stuff. But that wasn't an extension of a sound. That was a regression to emulate an older sound. So I don't think there's anywhere else to go sonically unless somebody comes out and goes, I want to do super stock by the book youth crew music. But the problem is if you do that, you run into all the problems that we just talked about. Yeah. You're not going to have the look people are gravitating towards. You're not going to have the kind of like the rhetoric people are into, you know, whatever. I don't think we're going to be seeing, if we do see youth crew ever again, I don't think we're going to be seeing it for a very long time.
Have we reached a logical conclusion?
I think we might have. Because, you know, all right, let's think about this.
Yeah.
Funk music.
Are we going to get funk metal?
Well, no. But I'm,
okay,
like,
okay.
Like, see what I'm saying? Funk music.
Yeah.
Big in the 70s, right? Mm-hmm. Big in the 70s. There have been funk artists since, but it's not like there's like a new wave of modern funk. You know, I think that reached a logical conclusion at some point. Yeah. Now, funk can influence other genres of music, but that doesn't make those genres of music funk music. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I think in fact, in hardcore in general, be that it's now 40 to 50 years old, we're going to start seeing logical conclusions of sub genres at some point. And then, you know, fingers crossed, you know, keep going. We're going to start seeing combinations of styles that weren't necessarily done in combination previously.
Okay.
Hopefully.
I mean, there's tons of bands that are doing it now, whether or not you like it. There's a band on Roadrunner right now called like Horror, which is like H-O-9-9-0-9.
Oh, I know what that is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is like kind of very abrasive, grindy rap.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have Corey Taylor on one song and then they have Bun B on the next song.
Interesting.
So it's trap metal. But like not in like a cheesy way.
Okay,
I'm gonna go see him with Cypress Hill and Slipknot. So we'll see.
There you go though. Cypress Hill on tour with Slipknot. That's like a young kid right now is like, oh sick, like you know. So it's like, and this type of stuff. I feel like you weren't really, these kind of combinations of tours were things that you weren't really seeing
totally
in time past. So. It will be interesting. I mean, and to circle back to MAD, kind of in a way, it's like, you know, there have been other bands that have kind of sounded like us, but like we were also trying to combine things that we weren't really seeing other people combine right now.
Yeah.
You know, for that very reason. It's like, well, regardless of what people think of the record, they can't say that we sound like anybody else right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least there's that.
One thing that's going to stand out to the listeners of this show, you have Randy from Lamb of God on a song.
That's correct.
Is that just a Richmond thing? Is it because he was on your pod? Are you guys kind of friends now?
So actually, because of COVID, that happened. Cool. I became friends with him because it was April or after lockdowns happened, and I thought to myself, wait a second, Lamb of God is always on tour. He's definitely not touring right now because tours are canceled.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wonder if I message this dude, if he'll come on my podcast. And this is kind of back when like stuff was a little more trepidatious.
Yep.
And we like, in like,
I remember listening to the episode. It was, you were like, yeah, we're distanced.
We were like across the room from each other. And you know, eventually it turned into kind of thing where it's like, hey, if you want guests to come on in person, I'd be like, hey, have you been sick? Like beforehand, they'd be like, no. Yeah. And I'd be like, have you tested recently? And they'd be like, yeah, I'm negative. And I'd be like, okay, me too.
That was during the time when people would yell at each other if they weren't wearing a mask in their picture they took.
So Randy and I was like, hey, I suspect you're not on tour.
Yeah.
Do you want to come to my studio and do an interview? And he was like, he asked a few questions. He's like, you know, like, can we be far apart from each other? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, sure, man. He came over and we talked and it was cool. And
it was a great interview. I learned a lot about him
and thank you. And we became friends from there. Like he learned about MAD at that. He was already a Division of Mind fan.
Awesome.
So like he like had like his finger a little bit on the pulse of Russian hardcore at the time. And he was like, oh, like your band's cool. Like, you know,
I mean, I always see him rocking like accused t-shirts and stuff. So, you know, he's down with like hardcore and punk and old thrash and stuff.
For those that haven't listened to the forum interview, that guy is like, yes, he's a metal guy. But I think at his core, that guy is like a hardcore punk that just made it. Mm-hmm. Like his vibe was more like train hopper punk dude.
Totally.
That just happened to like fall in with this band that got really, really big.
Really? Yeah.
And obviously he's very talented, but you know, like it was interesting hearing him talk so much about like Leeway and Bad Brains and mm-hmm. Circle Jerks and stuff. He wasn't like referencing like the metal stuff that I thought he was going to be referencing. But anyway, so yeah, he and I became friends. And then somewhere along the way, it's, I've always with any band I've been in, I'm like, you know, I want to get cool guest spots, because it's like I want people to be listening and be like, whoa, ask the question, how did this happen? You know, like when I did my previous band, like I had the guy from Floor Punch on and a song, and he's only been on one other guest spot ever, and it was on the No Warning record, Ill Blood. And I think people just think to themselves, as like, oh, people are just gonna say no, so I'm not gonna ask them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't do that. So I was like, hey, Randy, we wrote a couple songs that we had in mind for you to sing on for this record. Would you be down to come do it? And he was like, yeah, man, send them to me and I'll pick which one I want. And I was like, okay, here's one. Here's the other that is influenced by Lamb of God, actually. And he's like, well, I want to do that one. And he wrote the lyrics to his part and came in and busted it out in like 15 minutes. And That was it. And like, you know, he since he's like, asshole, you know, the record's doing, and you know,
that's
like,
awesome.
It's cool. He's a cool dude. He rocks. He's somebody that, you know, they say like, never meet your heroes, you'll be disappointed. That guy is not disappointed at all. He's sick.
Nice. Catch MAD on tour with Lamb of God and Megadeth.
I wish maybe someday, who knows?
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's LYST. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I saw Lamb of God last year. It was like the first big concert I went to, like after Hell lockdown. Yeah. It was Megadeth, Lamb of God, Trivium, Hatebreed. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Good show. Yeah.
Was did Lamb of God have pyrotechnics at that?
Oh yeah.
That's their first pyrotechnic tour.
Really?
Talked to me about it. They've never done that before.
Okay.
He said he had to take like some classes and stuff. He was telling me, he's like, yeah, man, we're doing our first pyro tour ever. I can't believe it.
Nice.
So yes, that was the first time they did that.
Nice, dude. All right. Well, you know, I'm not going to take up your whole night. You know, I just have a couple more questions here. So, do you get uncomfortable when you're being interviewed? You're someone that does an hour long, sometimes 2 hour long interviews. How is it being on the other side of it?
Dude, I don't shut up. So it's like, it's fine because I'm just such a damn talker.
Sure.
Cause I just like talking to people. That's kind of the reason I started my podcast.
Yeah.
Cause I was like,
that's why I like doing radio, is I'm paid to be a punisher, dude.
Yeah. Exactly.
It gives me a reason.
You get all the lore details and you just, you know, ask the questions direct with people and everything. Nah, man, I don't get nervous.
Okay.
Dude, the thing is, I feel like the most nervous I can imagine being, okay, I'm in front of people all the time. I play shows in front of people all the time, whatever. I've done some book readings for some books I've written.
Yeah.
Way more nervous for those because it's like, I don't know what the difference is.
That's you at your most vulnerable.
Yeah, you know, and it's like a little, like, okay, I'm not just like yelling and shit. Like, you know, or like just belting stuff out and jumping around.
You don't have your shield up. Like you're not the big, you know, macho singer guy.
Yeah, and you don't have your friends with you on stage. Yeah. Like, so that's the only stuff that I can think of that I've ever been like, in recent memory, nervous for. But doing stuff like this is just like talking to one of your friends. So it's all good.
Right on, man. Well, so, you know, obviously the last couple of years, you know, you've been able to stay sane with the music and with the podcast, but if you are having a crappy day, this is a question I like to ask everyone. What's an album that you can reach for, whether it's a chill album that can chill you out, a heavy album that can get your aggression out, but just, you know, like a standby, something that you can reach for and will put you in a better spot.
This is also some of my favorite karaoke choices.
Yeah.
Songs from the Big Chair by Tears for Fears.
Okay.
Is, in my opinion, one of the greatest pieces of music ever written since music has been a thing. Yeah. And man, I just put that on and I just kind of marvel at how great every track on there is.
Yeah.
And just the levels and everything. And I can think of like very romantic, like main character moments in my life where I was like riding my bike around at night, listening to that record. And,
sure.
You know, that one definitely. In another life, I would have done some kind of like new wave kind of synthy project, you know, whatever. So
you still
I still can't. I just don't know how to make it. I don't know how to make music like that. So that's I can sing. I can sing.
Yes.
But I can't. I don't know how to play keyboard. I don't really know how to play instruments. So
yeah, it'd be kind of awkward. Like, hey guys, want to start a band? Cool. What can you do? Nothing.
I've asked somebody who like does stuff like this. I'm like, yo, man, like, I know you make kind of synth stuff. So if you made some stuff, like, you sit in my way, I'll sing on it. And he was like, are you trying to hire me to like make synth music for you? And I was like, I guess. Like, it was different than like being like getting together with your friends and you know, because I feel like a lot of people that make stuff like that, they want to sing on it. It's not like they make that stuff. I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like it's not like they make stuff like that with another person in mind being like, I want this guy on this. It's more like, actually, funny you say that, friend of mine, Jose, sang for the band Misery. And he did the layout for the MAD record and stuff, and still does a lot of graphic design work, and he does a lot of stuff. He actually made synth tracks for me one time, and I did sing on them, but I don't think he rocked with what I was doing. So, but like, not in like a bad way. It's just like I think I needed probably some coaching as well. Sure. So I've tried, but you know, I don't know, life is long. Maybe I'll do it again. We'll see.
Yeah. So I have to be the guy to ask this question. Are we ever going to see MAD up in the Northwest?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
I am not really sure when, but I would like to try to do it by the end of the year.
Cool.
The deal is that like, we can't do like full US type style stuff. So sure. We, our mode weekend of warriors? Operation. Yeah. We're weekend warriors. So it's like, okay. Like we did a California weekend in April, and like the guys flew out to me, and we like, you know, like did California, and I'm flying out to the East Coast in July to do some like East Coast dates. And then we're flying all together to Texas in September to do some Texas dates. So the plan is, there's a band I have in mind that if they want to do it, that's from not the Northwest, to come with us. I'd like to ask them, and then like another, like a friend's band. There's a specific friend in the Northwest that I basically want to be like, yo, bro, any band you're in, I don't care. I just want to, you know, I want to play up there.
Let's get Apex Predator on there.
Yeah. Like legit. Like I was going to hit up Joey Moore and just be like, yo, I don't care what band. I don't care if it's Crawl Space. I don't care if it's Gag. I don't care if it's Apex Predator, whatever, dude. Like just, I want to hang out with you and play like three shows up here. So that will happen, because that is a specific pocket that we want to hit. Cause also, yo, hella Bay bands play up there all the time now, it seems. Which is cool. And like, I've made friends with them here. So it's like, shows look good. I want to get up there. I want to play Seattle. I want to play Tacoma.
Yeah.
You know, Vancouver, wherever else they tell me is the spot. That will happen. I just gotta figure out a good time of year to do it.
Sure. Summer would be the best, so it's not too rainy, but you know.
I can live with the rain, because yo dog, it doesn't rain work here. So and like in Virginia, it kind of rained all the time, and I can't believe I like sort of miss it. It like rained while I was back in Virginia for the festival, and I was like, oh nice. Nice.
My last question for you, dude, and since it's a video, show us if you can, but pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
Okay. Well, I have a bunch. Okay. So I don't know if you can see, you may not be able to, this part of my nose is more indented than the other. Because, I was at a show and, I was at a show with some, there was some dudes that you did not want to mess with at the show. It's like some older skin types. And, a friend of mine was like moshing and kind of got like mixed up with one of them. And I like pulled my friend aside and I was like, yo, I was like, if there's one cat in the room that you want to leave alone, it is that dude.
Yeah.
And then the guy comes up to me and he's like, are you talking about me? And I was like, actually, no, bro. I'm telling this guy to like leave you alone completely. And before I could even finish a sentence, I was like facing the other direction somehow. And it took me, it happened so fast. It took me a second to realize. I was like, oh, I just got punched so hard that I spun around.
Jesus.
And this part of my nose is caved in.
It's like some pro wrestling right there.
Straight up. I was like, I spun around. This part of my nose is caved in. I can barely breathe through this nostril. We like got into it, but it got broken up, you know, pretty quickly, but still it was like, my face was swollen afterwards. And I kept thinking, okay, the swelling will go down and I'll be able to breathe through this nostril again. And the swelling went down after a while and I was like, still can't really breathe through this nostril. And I was like, I guess my septum's deviated. And I was talking to my mom or something. She's like, oh, she's like, well, they could fix that. They could like, they could re-break it and then and reset it. And I was like, you know what? I am number one, too lazy to go do that. And number two, that sounds awful. Mm-hmm. So I'm just not going to do that. And I never got it fixed. But yeah, that's one of them. Maybe one day, I don't know. I don't have sleep apnea or anything. But if some that's kind of good. Incentive comes up where I need to get that fixed, then maybe I will.
Wow. I didn't get a deviated septum or anything, but just you bringing that up reminded me of a time I saw in Tacoma. This was years and years ago. It was Hood's Shattered Realm and Donnybrook.
Yes, that's a wallop of a tour package right there, my friend.
And within like a minute, my nose was bleeding. Yeah, within a minute of going to the show. Like I walk in, I'm like, hey guys, what's up?
Boom.
Yep. Nose exploded.
Been there a few times. I ain't gonna lie. Been the proprietor.
Yes.
A few times. I've calmed down in age. But yeah, I mean, you just listed that lineup and I was like, that sounds about accurate.
And Black My Heart was the opener. So
oh god, dude. Yeah,
it was the eulogy tour. Yeah.
Yep. There it all is at once right there, my yeah. friend. Ooh, Lord. All right. Yep. That makes sense.
Good times. It was my friend actually who broke my nose or messed my nose up too. So good
times.
That's
happened to me too. Yep. That's happened to me too.
Scott, man. Why'd you do it? Dude. Okay. It's been awesome chatting with you, man. So your podcast is called Form a Passion. The new album, Mutually Assured Destruction. It's called Ascension, out now via Triple B. You know, what's the best way we can support you guys?
You know, man, we were talking about earlier. Got some flights to cover for some of these gigs. Go to the Mutually Assured Destruction Big Cartel. That's mutuallyassureddestruction.bigcartel.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got some shirts, got records in there. You know, depending on when this comes out, there might be a sale going on. So, nice. So, you know, hit some stuff up. I sometimes just get a wild hair and just like going to the post office. So I'll discount stuff. Hit us up there, pick something up. Otherwise if we're in your area, come, you know, to a gig. And, in regards to like my podcast, Form of Passion, listen to, there's 74 episodes, listen to any one of them you want.
Yeah.
And, if you like it, you can support it at www.patreon.com/formofpassion. And it's like $2. So any of that stuff will help me out and I appreciate it.
Awesome, man. If you're just here listening to this now, you want to jump in, I'd suggest checking the track out with Randy and then going from there. It's a killer album. Dude, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Kevin. You're a wonderful man.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.